Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait. Will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
Never
insulin
Never eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs by
30 Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear. Just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com. That's SIGNOS.com with code SPARK. Signos.
How are you guys doing? This episode is sponsored by Field of Greens and Ghostbed. Well, I hope you guys are having a fantastic... Actually, it's going to be a later episode. I just got back in from Vegas. Unfortunately, I had to fly to Vegas for 24 hours or so, which if you guys have not been to Vegas, it's one of the dirtiest, nastiest, awesome cities on planet Earth.
I'm not vain. I really want to go.
I told you this. He's only here for another week or so, and I keep saying, let's just say, fucking, let's just go to Vegas tomorrow. Let's go to right now. I'll literally hop on another plane and go back.
The podcast quality would diminish dramatically.
Tremendously, yes. Oh, yeah. It would be all over the fucking place.
It would get way better.
We do it from the fucking blackjack table and be like, what in the fuck is going on?
It would be
here?
Entertaining.
It would be definitely.
And I know myself being Australian and the way I'm inclined, I'd be cancelled within about 15 minutes.
We can actually go to the Australian Down Under, or the Thunder Down Under.
We don't want that. Is that like naked dudes?
Yes.
Yeah. They visit Australia a little bit too.
Do they really?
Yeah, they're either Thunder Down Under or the Hot Shots.
I think they're, I don't remember the Hot Shots. I think they like take their dongs and they take them like, they make them into like big helicopters.
Yeah, I can't do that.
I'm too small for that. So there's the Ukraine is being Ukraine right now. It's probably one of the weirdest times we've seen in the last 12 months. I know a lot of you guys and gals are like, what is going on? I don't f-ing know.
We're hanging in limbo.
Like everybody that covers this thing is literally sitting in limbo right now. It is absolutely insane. Like I'm looking at, I can literally pull up mapping. Let's do that right quick. Look, I can literally pull up some mapping right from.
Well, the whole thing is everyone knows that an offensive is looming. We don't know when
or where. When it's going to happen.
There's a lot of people who have no idea about this stuff, including myself, who are drawing like, oh, the offensive is going to come this direction, drawing arrows. And I'm like, when did you ever do like C map, I map in the military and like planning operations? And I'm like, I could maybe do an operation for 8 dudes, but like these people, they're talking these massive combined arms movements and they're a blogger online. Like I don't even try and get into like what could happen because I'm like, I don't know because I've never commanded above 8 guys on the ground. And it's funny, but the thing is everyone knows and the posturing on the ground is funny because Russia, they're still in somewhat an offensive posture in some areas, but that's a small percentage on the front line. The main posturing across the front line is going into defensive. And you see things like the ISW and lots of reporting of Russia deploying various units, various troops onto the front line in defensive positions, you know, digging new trenches, reinforcing trenches, because they know, all of us know that Ukraine needs to launch an offensive soon. And there's been Kirby, his name is the US like SecDef or one of them. He talks about that, you know, it needs to come sooner rather than later. And it does because, you know, Ukraine need a win. The front line's been so stagnant for so long now. And, you know, so much money is going to Ukraine that they need to start being like, yeah, look, we're taking this ground. We're doing it. Because when the support's the highest for Ukraine is things like when they're winning, you know, Kherson, Kharkiv, Kiev, when they were pushing back. It's huge support because it's like, hey, look, we can actually achieve this. We can do it. Now, I don't doubt that can happen, but we know that that's looming and Ukraine doesn't want to send in a heap of this materials, vehicles, people, because they need to save these people for the offensives, these vehicles for the offensives. Hence why we haven't seen any of these, you know, Western armored vehicles on the front lines yet. And Russia's building. So at the moment, we're just sort of hanging in limbo, except for a few areas like Bakhmut, Avdiivka, areas like that. You know, back, you'll probably speak this more, but Bakhmut, you know, Russia is taking more and more ground day to day. It's very small ground, you know, Wagner Group there. But, you know, at the end of the day, they are taking some. And we've seen them cross the Bakhmutka River. They're pushing from south to north, north to south, and closing that pincer. Now, what we don't know is the exact posture and how many Ukrainian soldiers are within Bakhmut, because a lot of rumor is that it was being held more by territorial defense, then they got swapped out to more full-time units and back and forth. So I really couldn't say what's there. But what we do know is Bakhmut for both sides has a lot of symbolic value and has been a bloodbath for both sides as well. But it does have a lot of symbolic value. And the part of the strategy is symbolic value too. That people talk about symbols and you think a symbol is just this stands for that. Well, somewhat. But something that's symbolic can also be strategic. Because if it's symbolic of, you know, Ukraine holding this and defeating the Russians in this area, that symbolic reason has then a lot of strategic value in things like morale. So that's why we're seeing, you know, areas like that being held so tightly.
I'm actually looking at Bakhmut's weather right now, and over the next, basically until you leave here, it's going to be showers and raining. So it's raining the entire next week, and it's going to be wet. Now, it's almost getting an inch of rain in the next week.
That, and we've just seen massive snowfall. Charles can chuck in some videos of this where we're seeing, like, I'm not a snow bunny myself. I don't know what 2 feet of snow on the ground looks like, inch of snow. I don't know how much it would actually be. But you see these guys in the trenches, and it looks like a foot of snow. Yeah, it's absolutely insane.
So the next week is going to be exceptionally wet.
Yeah. And this is how to tell if you're seeing footage from Bakhmut recently or older. Because I saw a video today of claiming a Ukrainian Tokar 2.
Taken out of a van ski.
The barrack taking out an area. And it's like people going, hey, that's at least a few days old. So it's hard to tell. But we know, you know, I haven't actually worked in the snow that much. When I first got to Afghanistan, it was, you know, snowing. It was very cold. The first time I ever saw snow was as a 20-year-old man in Afghan. I've never seen snow in my life. Like,
shocking, you're from Australia.
Yeah. But this does have massive implications for, like, things like urban movements, you know, troop morale, and just, you know, overall attrition on the front line too. You know, we're seeing a lot of troops from, you know, this war frozen to death in trenches. So it's World War One and Two. It's crazy.
I want to. I'm actually going to pull up some of this mapping that's actually happening on the ground, because it's. I don't know. So junk science. That's what the doctors have been calling many of these fruit and vegetable supplements over the past few years. Now junk science, they say it's because they're only using the extracts from common produce department fruits and vegetables with very few health benefits. Now I take Field of Greens because it is the whole organic fruit and vegetable, not like watered down supplements. It's the entire thing, and it's backed by your better health promise. That's a big deal. Better health promise. Each ingredient inside of Field of Greens was actually scientifically chosen to support vital organs like your heart, your lungs, and your kidneys. Others support my immune system, my blood pressure, my metabolism, and healthy weight loss is very, very, very important, because I don't eat healthy all the time. I'm on the go. I'm traveling. I'm going a million miles a minute, so I don't have time to go down and make sure I'm eating the amount of fruit and vegetables I need. But you guys know what? The best proof is going to be in when you guys go to your next doctor checkup and say, whatever you guys are doing, it's working. Keep it up. So let me get you started right now at 15% off. Go to fieldofgreens.com and use promo code Rob. You guys can get 15% off by going to fieldofgreens.com. Use promo code Rob. It's very, very simple. To be linked at the very top of the description. Go check them out. Take them every day. They'll make yourself feel a lot better. You'll feel better inside. And you'll thank me. I promise you guys. Go check them out. They'll be linked at the very top of the description. Nailed it. I've been talking to Yuri also through DMs a little bit. You know, Yuri, that's over there. Everybody knows Yuri. Oh, I have a guy coming on, by the way. He might be here when you're here. Yeah. Oh, no, look at this guy. This guy just had a, he just absolutely ate a 40 mic round of the face. Whoa. He lives here in Dallas. This guy right here. You heard of him? Bryce Binghamton?
No.
You heard of him?
No.
He's from here. He's coming here. He'll be here next week. He ate a 40 mic round of the face. Look at his face. Took out his eye.
I've seen that photo, actually.
Yeah, so that guy's going to be on the podcast next week. Awesome. So I'm hoping he's going to be in here. He's got to go to Chicago first to get eye surgery to see if he can replay. His eye's gone, I guess, pretty much. But he's going to come on, so you guys will actually get some stuff on the green. He literally ate a 40 mic round in a trench. And there's a video. Matter of fact, we could put some of it on screen of this. Actually, I got this. This is it's good. It's actually, everybody's seen it. It's the trench. Have you guys seen the new, oh, God, hold on. I got to find this. You haven't seen this? There.
This won't stop till you come out. Granada.
This all just started coming out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So he's gonna be on. He's gonna be on here.
Battles and Beers is
really good.
Yes,
is it Beers and Battles? Battles and Beers.
Battles and Beers. Anyway, he's gonna be on here, which is great. Yeah, this one here. Yeah, so anyway, really random. Anyway, let's go back to the mapping piece. So this is pretty much what's going on inside of Bakhmut itself. You know what makes me feel good about that, Charles? Is we have people that are actually inside of Ukraine watching this, which makes me feel good about my life. I'm doing something halfway decent. We flew in an Australian man, spent all this money to have Charles here, and people are watching us in Ukraine as they sit inside of a trench getting snowed on and pissed on. But I do appreciate all you guys over there. Look at this. See this mapping? How does that make you feel? If you were to take a gander, though, how do you feel about this? I'm not really too shocked that this pocket down here finally closed and this one right here closed.
Well, it's becoming more and more isolated.
Yes. Now, you were talking about this before we actually hopped on here. The amount of Russian soldiers are throwing into this thing right now, comparatively speaking to the decent amount of, like, I would say decently trained Ukrainian soldiers. Do you think that it's worthwhile still sitting here holding this pocket?
I think now they have to.
So if they're holding this pocket, is it for a reason?
2 months ago, they probably should have been like, look, we're pulling out. But I don't know the actual standing on the ground at the time. But now that they've, you know, vowed to defend it, they sort of have to roll through with, you know, defending it. But we also don't know the exact casualty numbers on either side of this. But
are they doing it because they're going to actually push through here at some different point?
I don't know. I think it's more that if Bakhmut was to fall, then the ground becomes on Russia's favor.
It's going to fall no matter what at this current pace. There's absolutely no way the Ukrainians can maintain it. There's no fucking feasible way on planet Earth at the current pace.
Yeah. We've probably still got at least a few weeks.
I'm telling you, I can wait a week from now, and guess what? If there's no offensive movement that happens by the Ukrainians inside of Bakhmut, guess what's going to happen? Mm. Another pocket's going to close. It's fucking impossible.
Well, it's closing pockets.
Yes, yeah. It's going to continue to do this. It's just going to slowly collapse and collapse, and the Russians don't give a fuck because they're just going to throw more men at the fire. That's what I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Are they holding this pocket? Because to me, it's fucking asinine being a leader to sit there and hold a pocket if you have no further idea to regain it at some
point. I agree.
You see what I'm saying?
I completely agree. I think holding Bakhmut personally was the wrong decision. But at the end of the day, I don't know the actual makeup of the troops on the ground. And that said, you know, Zelensky has said as well, and this isn't the exact quote, but it was an open road further into Donbass from there. That if it was to fall, how does that actually then look? If they were to give up that pocket, does it instantly collapse that front line through Chesiv Yar, maybe Kramatorsk, Slavyansk?
Why would I do that?
I don't know. Well, they talk about that open road, and there is high ground right on the west side of Bakhmut. This is what's been so successful at being defended, was all the guns in defilade position being able to hit Bakhmut and get the Russians. If it does fall, it could be really bad. And we know now it seems like Ukraine's gone all in. Like, they put all their chips into holding Bakhmut. Then now if it's like, hey, we're pulling out, then it's like, well, what's going on now? So I don't think it should have been held, but that's just my personal opinion based on watching the war from 6,000 miles away as an asshole on the internet. But at the same time, we know that the amount of troops killed here is absolutely insane.
At least you admit you're an asshole.
I've also talked to a lot of people who say one of the big issues is they can't get out the armor in there at the moment. They've got a lot of armored vehicles in there too that they can't move out. So they sort of need to hold it, or they're going to lose a lot more equipment and a lot of people. So,
but that still doesn't make what I just said 2 minutes ago. You holding this little pocket week after week after week as it collapses on you is not a smart idea. It makes no sense whatsoever. And there can't be a that's what I'm saying. There has to be another objective here. Yeah. Just holding this pocket is not the core objective.
Well, the objective just could be that, hey, we're killing so many Russians in this area, we need to keep it.
But then that goes against what you just said. They're staying there because the armor can't leave.
Yeah.
Then that just kills that fucking entire
area. I know. Well, that's the only reasons I can think of.
They can't move. They can't get artillery pieces in there with enough ammunition.
Yeah.
That's another thing I've heard, which I don't really know how much that has to do with holding off an area more than possibly pushing in for an offensive. But the thing is, if they were to push through on an offensive, it would be on the northern side of that area. But the other problem is they've given up really good trenches to the Russians now.
Yeah.
Like exceptionally good trenches on the northern side of the...
Yeah. Defensives that have held for 8 months.
Are now in control.
Yes.
So now I'm asking you, what the fuck is the fucking point of it at this point?
I don't know.
I've
asked myself that for a long time. Is there something about Bakhmut that we don't know?
There has to be.
That is making it so much more important.
Charles has been here fucking every day with me, and you guys have as well. How long have I been saying, what is the point of Bakhmut?
I think they've just built this as like a symbol of the war now. That both sides, you'll hear, or the Russian side call it Artemovsk, whatever they call it. Ukraine call it Bakhmut. And that they've almost built this as like a pedestal of success. And it's like, well, even if it was to fall, it's not a pedestal.
Yeah, but you can't fucking win a war by kind of claiming one city.
I know.
That's like the most acid.
But I think it's been seen that it's sort of being built up as like.
But I can't be the only one. I don't watch a lot of people's fucking content about Ukraine. I just don't do it anymore. Because it drives me fucking insane because I have to deal with it every day anyway by researching. So I don't even know what everybody else is saying. I can't be the only guy that's on fucking YouTube right now. It's like, you know what? Bakhmut was fucking stupid. This is dumb now. I get it. Lots of people have been killed. But what is the fucking objective?
Yeah.
I'm not laughing because it's fucking funny. I'm laughing because it's stupid at this point. What the fuck is the objective? There's got to be guys on the ground. I guarantee to you there is Ukrainians on the ground right now asking, what is our objective right now?
There's plenty of videos of that.
What the fuck is our... Is there a lot of videos of this right now? What the fuck is our objective right now? I need to know.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we doing here?
Yeah.
I can't... If I was on the ground, I'd literally be sitting... I get it. We got to hold it. But please tell me what happens after we fucking hold it. Because that house over there, I'm only going to be holding it for the next 2 days or so before they fucking start shelling the piss out of it and I got to move back.
Well, it's not like that. Like, it's going to keep happening. At the end of the day, we talk about this city... At the end of the day, they're holding a flattened city. You see any photos of Bakhmut at the moment? Every building's been shelled. It's now just a piece of earth that used to be that. And I know that sounds terrible. I know it's people's homes, but it's personally to me, I don't see why they're holding it. But I've heard a lot of reasons about it, and I don't know. But the main one that's running on the Ukrainian side is that it's an area where they can kill so many Russians. They're having such a big effect on the Russians that. You know, it's worth them holding it to wear down the forces. But the Russians also claim the same thing. The Russians, you'll see, hey, we're not closing that north and south pincer to the west. We're not going to close those roads because Ukraine keeps sending people in and we'll keep killing them.
Yeah. Well,
so that's what they keep saying. But I don't know which side it is.
If you guys are hanging out here in America or in another country, they don't have to worry about sleeping in a trench. I'm going to tell you guys right now, Willie's a hot sleeper. If you guys are regularly waking up sweating and you guys are not able to go back to sleep, I got something for you guys. You guys are not alone. Willie is struggling with his life because he's never had a ghost bed. He's struggling. So if you guys don't have it, your bedding actually plays a massive role in this work. Ghost Bed is actually going to help you guys out a ton. It's a family-owned company that makes the coolest beds inside of the world. Yes, the coolest, as in to your skin, to your touch. They've been designing cooling mattresses for the last 20-plus years with signature materials and technology that has actually helped thousands of people across the United States get the sleep they actually deserve. So from their signature Ghost Ice fabric to patented technologies that adjust with your body temp, every Ghost Bed mattress is designed with cooling in mind. We love Ghost Beds here. I'm going to tell you guys right now, if you guys want to get 40% off right now, it's a limited time only. Check them out. The link in the very top description. All you guys got to do is go to ghostbed.com/Rob. Take advantage of this thing. You also get 2 free pillows for free. Why wouldn't you want to try this out? All you got to do is go to ghostbed.com/Rob. Use promo code Rob. That's all you got to do. It's that easy. 40% off all Ghost Bed mattresses right now. Hey, check them out. The link at the very top of the description. Kicking it back over to Russia. One of the most crazy things has actually happened inside of Russia as of late. I'm not going to call it an assassination attempt because it was actually a completion. I wouldn't call that an attempt by any means.
Who's calling it an attempt?
No, I just, that's the first thing that came to my mind.
It's like that suicide bomber kills one. Like, no, that's what it takes to just the qualification of that.
Yeah. He was a suicide. Yeah, I get it. But I know I was on a flight when this, actually, I started my flight and I ended it, and pretty much this is all I've got is what you're about to tell me on what's happened with it.
Yeah.
I've seen the video.
So a very prominent figure in the mill blogging space, you know, Vladan Tatarsky, has been killed in St. Petersburg. St. Petersburg is the second biggest city.
Which is crazy that it happened all the way up there.
Yeah, sort of to the east of Finland.
Not even like... You want to go down a rabbit hole? We can go down an absolute insane rabbit hole here on
but still far west of the country.
Which is not even close to Ukraine, but which makes you think, how did it even get in there?
It's not too far. It's not like someplace in Russia.
But you know what I mean? Like, tell
there's a lot of, but you got to remember that if you're a Russian person, imagine you were just a Russian person. You know, I know you like making money, you like things, and they've just gone, well, okay, Rob, your YouTube, you own USD and YouTube, that's gone. You can't earn a cent, and your rubles in the bank is now worth 50% of what it was, and you can't fix your Mercedes and blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of reason to be fucking shitty at the government.
I don't have a Mercedes, by the way.
No, you don't have a Mercedes. You're on that American car train. I have American cars. Not the German train. Should get on the German train. No, but actually, that's not a good sentence. No. Get on the German train.
Just thought of that. Oh, my God.
Damn.
Oh, that was terrible. Yeah. Get on the German train is the worst sentence that ever came out of your mouth. That is terrible.
Man, as long as it's not going to Poland.
Wow.
That anyway, worse. He was at an event. Now, it's being rumored. I don't have confirmation on the where this event was being held, like the cafe sort of area. It's actually owned by Yevgeny Prigozhin, who owns Wagner Group. So they're there, and they're, you know, up talking. They've got a photo of him with guns behind him. He's a propaganda blogger. We've seen this on both sides. They exist. And a lady walks up. There's a photograph of her now. Can't confirm that it's her either. And literally hands him a figurine. And there's a video of him, like, looking at this thing. Oh, you know, whatever. And there's no footage of the explosion except for an outside CCTV camera. But the figurine, reportedly from the Russian police, had 200 grams of dynamite in it and has exploded and actually killed him. And there's a video of where it's blown up inside. And it, yeah, it's killed him. So it's just been very wild. But there's a lot of conspiracy about this because I had some people reach out to me being like, this is weird because... Yes, he's a pro-Russian blogger and has not, and is very supportive of the invasion of Ukraine, but he's also been, you know, very vocal against the Kremlin and calling out figures and whatever, especially when the Kharkiv counteroffensive in Ukraine, which I believe was September, really the first big move we've seen, you know, of Russia losing a lot of ground very quickly, and it folded like very quickly. And he was very vocal about absolute ups in this. And I had a friend reach out to me and was saying this, you know, on the surface, it absolutely looks like, you know, a attack from these, you know, partisans working inside Russia. Or it could be a cleanup on the Russian side. So to eliminate this. And we've seen plenty of elimination of, you know, prominent journalist figures, political figures throughout Russia before. Heaps of it.
Yeah, but so, they usually find themselves out of a window.
It happens lots of ways. You find yourself with Novichok as well.
Yeah.
That bloody chemical that they can kills you on surface for like years.
Yeah.
We won't go down that rabbit hole of certain chemical weapons, but Russia's chemical programs are insane because there was a defect. I've gone down the rabbit hole.
I don't even open up my mail. I don't know.
So I had a few. I had a couple of guys.
I'm always worried. Like I can't open up this package. It says I don't know who it's from. I'm not going to throw it away.
I had a couple of guys come on who work in. SOAs, those special operations engineers who do all the chemical biological stuff for the military. It feels like, yeah, very high-end guys. And we know a lot of Russia's chemical capability and biological capabilities because there was a defector in the sort of early 90s. A defector came across and basically told the US, hey, this is what we've got, this is what we've developed. And apparently the US was like, holy fucking shit, like we're not even close to that. And we've seen people killed in Britain with Novichok, which was insane. They had a chemical weapon kill a Russian figure in the UK like that. And people like that got buried quickly and that's a big deal. But Russia loved to have that plausible deniability. But either way, yeah, he's been killed in St. Petersburg and they're saying that it's from Russian sources, saying the Noda of Vladimir Tatarsky in the center of St. Petersburg is not just a spit in the face of the Russian special services and the authorities of our president's hometown. But with him executed brazenly and boldly, the terrorist attack in the country's second largest city, another proof there is no safe rear. And we've seen this more and more, is, you know, these attacks further and further into Russia are becoming more a thing. You know, we've seen this, we've seen missiles going further in. There's a lot of this and it's getting fucking wild. But I'm surprised that we haven't seen more guerrilla warfare in this war. Because like it would not be that difficult on either side with intelligence agencies, fake passport, whatever, get in, blow something up, kill someone. Like I'm surprised we're not seeing more of it. But we do know there's a lot of partisans working in Russia. There's partisans in Ukraine too. There's Russian partisans in Ukraine. When me and Charles were up in Kharkiv Oblast, when we were going to this area, people were like, you can't go there because a lot of the civilians left there are partisans for Russia and they will call in your grid reference to the artillery pieces. They will shoot at you out of a window with a weapon, all this shit. That it's fucking wild there. You can't go there. Our front line's in front of it, and we go behind it. We can't go to this place. But we've also seen attacks in Russia from Russians who are partisans of Ukraine. So they are Russians. They're pro-Russia. Like, they're pro the Russian Federation, but anti-Putin, anti-the Kremlin. So they're working against the government from the inside. And that's most likely probably what it is, but it's wild. A lot of people have lost a lot, but, you know, I'm surprised we're not seeing more terrorist attacks. You know, I've seen, you know, we know Russia has not killed a single HIMARS system, none. They claim they have, and they've probably hit some of the inflatable systems because, you know, I think it's Denmark sending in a heap of inflatables, which work. Like, you're looking at something from a drone, you're like, fucking bomb that. And it's just a bloody hot air balloon. But they, at least to our understanding, have not killed a HIMARS system. But I've seen them heaps, and you know, I'm not giving anything away here that people don't know. I can't believe that you wouldn't be like sending some fucking crack team somewhere, just a rocket launcher, and sit on a road for a week and you'll see one. Like, you know, it's one of those things, or vice versa. So I'm surprised we're not seeing more of it with, you know, people losing more. But the thing is, terrorist attacks can have a very different, because like they say in this, that there's no safe rear, that makes people, you know, scared. Terrorist attacks can go one of two ways. So you'd hope that it's like, hey, why are they attacking in St. Petersburg, in Moscow? We need to end the war, finish the Kremlin. Or it can be positioned very differently of like, hey, you know how the Kremlin is saying that Kyiv are terrorists, they are Nazis, they are whatever. Then does it reaffirm that? Can the media and the government spin it in that way? So it's very difficult with attacks like this, but it's a wild thing for him to be wiped out. Wild.
I did also see that. I don't think I actually put it in the notes. The Belarus is actually moving more nukes on the Poland side. Did you see this?
Yeah, Russian nukes.
That's what I meant. Yeah, Russian. I didn't actually look too much into it because I don't. There's literally no difference on keeping it on the western side or the eastern side of Belarus.
No, I mean, like Russia's a nuclear capable state from submarine.
It doesn't really.
They
matter.
Could be floating off the coast here somewhere different. If they really wanted.
I know that there's not a lot going on with China as well. They're just the same thing over Taiwan. I know I did a quick little peek here. It's almost like everything right now is like comparative to last year. This time last year, we were able to make two videos a day, 100%, because there was so much movement going on all over the world. And now it's like...
Well, the China-Taiwan one's really interesting. I'm not sure how much you've looked into that. And I should say I'm not an expert, but I have a few mates who actually go to Taiwan to film and whatever.
I think the whole Taiwan deal is going to happen.
Really?
I personally do at some point. Yeah. If America is not showing its teeth a bit more.
America doesn't show its teeth. Not anymore.
It's because
America hasn't won a war for so long.
They have to show their damn teeth at some point.
Well, have you heard the whole thing about the million man swim to take Taiwan? The best breakdown I've ever seen of Taiwan is we know China could bomb it to shit. They could nuke it, but they're not going to do that. At the end of the day, they reckon it would take a million man army to actually clear Taiwan, like take Taiwan, which sounds about right, you know. And what this guy did was he's like, well, how are you going to land these guys? Taiwan's incredibly hilly, so you can't land them, you can't paratroop these guys in, they can't jump in. So it's really, the option's really down to amphibious assault. And what he did was he was like, right, these are the Chinese warships, let's take every soldier, takes up with gear 4 square feet of room. And he's like, okay, we put all these soldiers on the boats, even at once with amphibious landing craft, assuming that even a Chinese bloody battle cruiser just has men on it, that they still can't get the amount of men landed at any one point to actually have that much success, because there's only a few areas that would actually be very open to a major amphibious assault. His whole thing was they just don't have the numbers to do that. So you can't land by air. You're not going to be able, with American Patriot systems and whatever in there, the actually landing aircraft, not going to happen. Too far for choppers. So amphib only. And he worked out, well, if everyone takes 4 square feet, if everyone pecks on the boats, you're only going to get 250,000 guys. And that's with no armor, no nothing on. And even then, that's assuming everyone can fit on landing craft, which is not going to happen. And they're like, Taiwan would only have to hold off waves of a certain amount of people each time. And they're like, if you could land in waves of 20,000 on one of a few beaches you could actually do it on, hey, they're going to have a pretty good chance of doing it. And amphibious assaults with modern weapons are just out the window. Like, amphibious assaults were outdated when we were doing them back in the day. And you see that, you look at places like Normandy, Gallipoli, just a bloodbath of just men until you bloody get somewhere on the beach. But, and that's what I'm talking about, was I'd actually able to do it. Like the theory of the million man swim is to do it, you need all million men to swim across. So it's very difficult if it would or wouldn't happen. And China's got problems. They can't be rolling the dice with American sanctions. I know China's sanctions would also fuck us pretty hard too, but it would fuck us like, hey, shit's bloody expensive and I can't get cheap Chinese stuff. But it's not going to fuck us like, hey, we're just not doing anything. Like, we're going to die. Like, you know, it would still maintain. America and Australia and coalition has survived without China before, and they'd survive without China. It would just be rough. China would not survive without us. And China's got huge issues around their population because they've lied in a few of their population graphs, and their one-child policy just fucked them pretty hard too. So huge issues. I don't think we'll see it, but I also don't want to say that we never will, because you absolutely could. So Taiwan's crazy. So one of the ones I did want to talk about was there's Ivan Rosomakin, who is a repeat offender. He was sentenced to 9 years, so 10 years in prison in 2020 for murder. Now, he was released last year, signing up to fight for Wagner Group.
Well, okay, I was about to say, we're going down a Wagner hole, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, he's done his 6 months minimum, which, in his credit, surviving as a conscripted prisoner into Wagner Group is pretty legit. So, you know, credit to him for that. But within days of returning home, he's been arrested on suspicion of killing an elderly woman. So he murdered someone, went to prison, went to Wagner, survived that. He's gone back home and killed someone within a couple of days of getting there again. So he's
pretty solid group of people that are actually...
He's now going back in.
He's going back to Wagner?
Well, Yevgeny Prigozhin has said, if a person is behaving aggressively or provocatively, if there is any risk, especially if he is from the category of former prisons, you need to let us know. We will send out a recruiting group, carefully collect him and send him back to the front, to the place where he should take out all of his aggression.
So this guy gets away with murder?
Well, yeah. He's probably going to get executed. Well, like, the odds of him dying is pretty high, but at the end of the day, yeah, he's pretty much getting away with murder because he's going to go to prison and then we'll pull him back out. So.
Talk about lawless. What's that movie? What's that movie where you get like 24 hours to just kill? The Purge.
Yeah.
This is like Russia's Purge. Not only are they purging with their own people, they just go home, hey, you know what, you can murder anybody you want. They're also not mating enough, which yeah. Japan's not mating enough. They're not doing the dirty.
Japan, South Korea, Russia. They're all struggling. All problems with that, yeah.
I mean, America's even going to have it. It's here. Because
yeah. We're not as bad, but we're, yes. Yeah,
it's not going good.
It's not going well, yeah.
I like how you say, like, it's not as bad, like, we're doing bad. And you are down under. You should be mating a ton.
No, we just have massive immigration. Say what you will about it. Australia's got pretty large immigration.
Well,
but we've got very tight immigration laws too. A lot of like right-wing figures in Europe will point at Australia and say, hey, they've got it right now. I'm not saying I disagree with that, but they talk that Australia's got it right because it's very hard to immigrate in. But we do have large immigration because a lot of people want to come to Australia. But we're very picky with some... times of what we actually take.
So this guy's for sure 100% back on the front already?
Well, not 100%. You know, so Prigozhin has just said, if it is from the category of former prisoners, let us know, send him a recruiting group, we'll come get him, and he can go back on the front to take out his aggression. Man, it's honestly a good deal. If you're a prisoner, if you're in jail for life, and I'm telling you now, like, I know American prisons are pretty rough. It's nothing like a Russian prison. Like, a Russian prison would be insane, man. And if someone comes and like, hey, you're in here for life, or we can go try your luck and get out, I'd be like, yeah, whatever. Like, you know, and he killed someone again, but if he didn't kill someone again, he would have been out. Like, silly, but that's how to do it. But, you know, emptying prisons, and this is sick, but emptying prisons in your wartime is not a bad idea. At the end of the day, you've got a lot of guys who
save you a lot of
in
money.
In wartime, too. Prisons are incredibly, unbelievably expensive. Unbelievably expensive. You've got a lot of men sitting around doing fuck all. Where, hey, we can send these guys to the front line too, even if it's just digging shitters. Like, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of guys sitting around doing fuck all. So, and I'm not saying it's ethical, but I can see exactly why they want to do that and why Prigozhin pulled these guys out of prison to go fight in Bakhmut. And that's the reason they've had such high attrition. Which, do you really think the Russian Federation gives a shit about these guys? You've sent them to this guy. Like, you know, he's a repeat offender. He's in jail for murder. Do you really think the state really care about him? If he died in Bakhmut or not? No way. That's why you've sort of got these two distinct elements of Wagner Group. You've got these guys who are like the prison, pretty much the meat. And then you've got the guys who are like legit operators who, you know, send out like, we think there's a machine gun nest over there. Hey, fucking Ivan, you in jail, go that way. No, that's his name. It's probably half a name. But like, Ivan, head that way. Machine gun kicks up. Oh, yeah, sweet. And the actual operator's like, we'll go hit that and take it out. And that's exactly, from the people I've spoken, exactly how they're doing it. Because there are some, like, apparently very solid operators in Wagner. Like, the old guard of Wagner are very well trained. And that they've got all these massive numbers in the tens of thousands of guys. They're saying that Wagner could be bigger than some of the militaries in places like Latvia or Estonia. So, yeah, it's wild, man. And Wagner has a lot of luck with recruiting from the international as well.
Charles has actually been thinking about joining.
Yeah.
Like, my camera guy literally sent me an ad. He's like, dude, I think they could pay me more than you can. I said, go ahead.
That's if they turned him down. They're like, nah.
No, we can't do you.
As well, it's been kicking off everywhere that Russia is now the president of the United Nations Security Council, which is wild. Do you know when they were the president last of the UN Security Council? February 22. So the president of the UN Security Council when they also invaded Ukraine. And they're now the president again. So the UN Security Council has 15 countries.
How does it even work?
Well, I'll explain it. They have 15 countries, five of which are permanent members. So it's US, UK, France, Russia, China. They're the permanent members. And they go on just a 15-month rotation through. So it rotates back around April. Russia's back in charge of the UN Security Council. So the thing is, they actually can't do anything about this either because, you know, Zelensky's called them out. All of Ukraine's called them out. The US has even said we should do something. But they can't do it because they're a permanent member. There is no way in the UN, same as NATO, we can get NATO countries. There's no way to actually get rid of Russia out of the UN Security Council. And I actually think people hate me. I think it's a dumb idea, even if there was a way to kick them out. Because I think it's a degree of keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. That if you do boot them, and you did boot China, then, well, now you've got no leverage. You've got no intel on the inside. So it's difficult. But this doesn't actually really mean anything. Like, Russia being the head of the UN Security Council means nothing. Like, the position month to month is basically just symbolic of, oh, yeah, they're... It's like in school when you'd rotate through the kids marking the roll. They can't do anything. It's like, they don't have any power. They're just, you know, doing random... But for anything to actually happen, all five of the permanent members, which we spoke before, all five of them actually need to agree on that going forward. So they can't actually do anything. Yeah. But Russia does have the ability to veto things too. So that's probably the one thing they do have, is if something comes up, as all five need to agree, well, if the West puts something forward or China puts something forward, Russia can be like, well, we don't agree, so it's not going through. But, you know, it's very, very difficult. But on that as well, Finland has become the 31st member of NATO. Turkey's finally sort of let up. Which, if Russia's plan of this war was to stop NATO advancing east through Europe and get NATO off their border...
Try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
One bite will destroy your metabolism. Drink butter coffee instead to kill cravings.
What? Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning, right? Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again?
Fruit ruins
never
insulin
eat after 7 p.m.
One cheat day.
Cut carbs
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
Get your bag!
2 ways to peel for a chance to...
Get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to...
Get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Finland, who was a very powerful country before. Look at Finland's history with Russia, you know, and has very, very strong connections to a lot of other countries. Finland has now joined NATO, making now a huge border with Russia there too. But Sweden and Finland both put in at the same time to join, but Turkey is still holding up Sweden. As you know, they all other 30 countries have to agree. Very similar to the UN thing. It's like everyone or nothing. So Turkey's gone through, and we know that Turkey, realistically, should Turkey be in NATO or not? I think if you had another vote now, it would probably turn around, like with Erdogan. Because Erdogan's played both sides of this, you know, and the whole Turkey thing is very difficult with, like, you know, Turkey wanting F-35s and then being denied, no, you're not getting them. Greece getting F-35s, so the Aegean Sea now has a huge impact in Greece's favour, and, you know, Turkey doesn't have them. So now Turkey was looking at, well, we need higher generation fighter jets. So now they're looking at importing some tech from places like Russia for their new stealth aircraft. It's all over the fucking place.
So Finland is 100% in NATO.
So they need to still get, like, the official tap on the head, but all 30 countries have agreed to let them in.
They're in NATO. Finland touches a very large, huge chunk of Russia.
Yeah, it's been contested for a long time.
Can we get throw a map of it on screen, please? Because a lot of people probably don't realize how big the border between Finland and Russia is. It's massive. Yeah. It's not small. And just saying that, it's also in a part of Russia that is actually fairly densely populated.
Yep.
It is not like in the northwestern or northeastern part of Russia where you're like, who the fuck lives there?
Yeah.
Nobody.
It's a very important part of Russia.
Yeah, it's a very good part of it. It's a part of Russia that, like, I like to throw. I mean, there's some really cool. I mean, I'm a big World War II buff, but some of the stuff that they've done inside of that area is pretty. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
We also look at that sea that they're now. So there's, I'm not even sure what it would be called, just below Finland, Sweden.
I don't know.
That they're now calling the NATO pond, because of course it's expanded NATO's control of that as well, being where Russia can bring in and out things like warships, boats, whatever. So that as well. Finland still has, contested is the wrong word, but there's a lot of ground in Russia that Finland would still say is theirs. Now, I'm not exactly sure on if Finland had to say, hey, that's not our land, because as far as I know, to join NATO, you can't have any contested areas of border. I'm not sure if that goes historically as well, but Finland lost a lot of their land as well to Russia at coming out of World War II.
Baltic Sea.
So at the end of the day, Finland, I've been to Finland, man. Finland is my favorite country to visit in the world.
Well, I haven't been to Finland.
It's awesome.
I love Belgium. If you live in Belgium, you're watching this, I absolutely love Belgium. But I love Belgium because of World War II. Now, the thing about the Baltic Sea is St. Petersburg is in the Baltic Sea.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if I hope people can realize how big this, I mean, it's huge. And now we have somebody on our side. So we get a high, we have people down under, we have people down at the north.
The thing is, Finland, like, at the end of the day, Finland wasn't like Ukraine, where, you know, it was like no part of NATO. Finland, although they weren't an official NATO member, they had all these things signed of defense and whatever against, like, purely, you know.
And they have a solid military.
They have a solid military.
Very solid military.
Well, this is like, look at it like this. Like, they had, you know, F-35 fighters, not in NATO. It's a bit like Australia. Australia's not NATO because we're not North Atlantic. But we have all this other sign that if Australia got invaded, very quickly every country would be like, well, we have to uphold this. So it's more of just, you know, a pat on the back and change your maps. But Finland was always going to be defended as well. So Norway, there's that tiny border to the very, very far north. And now that border all the way down to basically St. Petersburg is now NATO, which, you know, Russia sort of f***ed themselves there if the goal was to get that off their border. So it's changed massively. But Finland also have national service as well. So every male needs to go and do service. So they have a very big military, very strong military as well. Great country if you ever get to go there.
All right. Well, I hope you guys did enjoy this late episode. We're back at it. We got another week with Willie. Then I'll be here with you guys with, I don't know what I'm going to do without you. I'm probably just going to have to give you my channel and just say, get after it, buddy. I'm here for you at this point. Like, everything. I just need to keep you in my life. But I do appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Maybe this week will be a big week. Who knows? All right.